Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan. In person, face-to-face.
Don't wave too close to the camera. You'll freak it out.
Sorry. I keep forgetting the whole focal length thing. This video thing, for everyone who's watching us right now, is totally new. We are live. We have no idea what we're doing, because normally we do an audio podcast. So, for any new listeners, welcome. For any old listeners, hi, we missed you. And please come join our hangout.
Yay! Wait, it's not a public hangout, is it?
No, it's not. God,
last
no,
time
no.
that happened, I was not too happy with what happened.
Last time we did a hangout, we accidentally made it public, and there were quite a few penis shots.
There was one.
And it scared us away from doing Google Hangouts for a very long time, but I think we're back now, and I think it's going well, and this whole hangout on air thing really changes things, so... We are going to jump right into our show right now and give a quick update on Extra Life, which is happening 2 weeks from today, mm-hmm. which I'm very excited about. I have to stop bobbing around. When you're on video, it makes a difference. So our Extra Life event is going to involve 24 hours of us gaming, obviously, as everybody else does. And what we're going to be doing is... all kinds of things. We have a huge team, and we're raising money for sick kids, which is exciting. And we're going to be streaming video of us playing for 24 hours, which is part of the reason why we've decided to start doing our show live on camera.
Mm-hmm. That's a very accurate rundown. Excuse me. And I was also, you mentioned sick kids. Like, we're both gaming for the Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. And I don't know if you got this email, but I got an email today saying that Sick Kids is in the lead for the amount of backers.
So well, yeah, because Sick Kids Hospital Foundation is fantastic and awesome, and Extra Life is actually international. So for a hospital in Toronto to be the lead of everybody, all the people that are part of the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, for Toronto to be the one with the most people backing them, it just shows the kind of research and help that they give kids is international, worldwide, and it's really mind-blowing to see the international support for a hospital in Canada. I just think it's fantastic. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, just a quick read here from the email. They say they have 600 gamers backing them, and LA is close behind, but at 600 gamers for 24 hours, that's 14,400 hours. And they also state that one child every 16 hours will be resuscitated by caregivers at Sick Kids. So that's pretty crazy when you think about it. Actually, I don't know why they had that math there, but...
I don't know, because I was thinking about it, and I was looking at it, and I was like, so one kid every 16 hours, then I was like, that must be forever, you know, or not for, like, on a year basis or ongoing or something, because I was like, so they're going to resuscitate one kid for our 600 gamers? I was like, I don't understand what's going on with that, but... Anyways, we're helping hospitals, we're helping kids, we're paying for research, and I'm super pumped about it. I also got another donation, which is fantastic. So I am leading our team right now, but we still need our listeners to help us out, please. If you have the money and if you have the time on October 20th to share with us, and you want to come watch us make faces while we game and actually, you know, game... then we're always looking for more backers to help us with our efforts to help sick kids, and we're also looking for more people who want to drop in and game with us, because everything that we are playing will be multiplayer titles. We are going to be doing some Civ, we're going to be doing some WoW, we're going to be playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, Ryan's going to be playing Scary Games at Night, which is going to be fun, which I might not actually game at that time. I might just watch him while he does it, because it's going to be fantastic and entertaining at 3 in the morning.
That counts, too, actually, watching people game. It says right in the document that you can just, you know, take a break and watch somebody else's stream. I think that should still count.
I think that totally counts. So, now that we've plugged our crap out of our Extra Life campaign, I think we should move on to what we're playing. So, Ryan, what are you playing this week? Because I've been working, I just came off 48 hours of work in a row, so I'm pretty wired right now. But, I haven't had a whole lot of time to play games lately, so other than WoW, and we're not allowed to talk about WoW until next week. So, Ryan, what have you been playing?
Well, I'm sort of in this similar boat. It feels like I haven't gamed like a game that I want to play in about a week. So I've really been working a lot and busy with other projects. So it's mostly been portable stuff. Starting off with New Super Mario Brothers 2 DLC.
Thank you for not calling it New Super Mario Bros, because I might have had to punch you through the camera.
Yeah, well, now you can do that. Oh, a little higher. There we go. Yeah, oh, punch out. Anyways, I know last I talked about this on the show, I wasn't too thrilled with it, but I kept playing more and more and just really got into it. And Nintendo is doing this new thing called DLC. I don't know if you've heard about it. Nintendo
Nintendo.
Hasn't. It's crazy. Nintendo's actually gone on record saying that they don't like DLC and DLC is stupid. And that I'm paraphrasing. but they meant more so in the sense that DLC shouldn't be like a replacement for content the video is really distracting. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm moving something. There we go. Not you, me. I'm just distracted by me.
you do have a beautiful, beautiful face, right?
It's because it's not in sync. It's really weird. Okay, back on point. The DLC is not an extension of the main game. It's part of the side game, which is called Coin Rush Mode. And it's all about high scores, all about getting as many coins as possible. And I'm actually really excited to talk to you about this because I want to determine whether it was worth the money.
I'm just going to stop you right there, and I'm going to say it's Nintendo, so probably not.
Probably not. Okay, well, why don't I tell you what is in these packs? There are three level packs, each consisting of three levels. So in total, 9 levels. And how Coin Rush Mode works is you get one life, single life, and you try to play through all three levels and get as many coins as possible, and that's your record. They are $2.50 a pack, and there's no bundle saving. So I think in the end, I paid maybe like $8.50 with tax. So $8.50 for 9 levels, which doesn't sound like a lot, I assume. Do you think that sounds like a lot, 9 levels?
Well, 9 levels, oh, I don't know. It depends. Nintendo is so just, they really need to win me over with something. They haven't won me over with something in so long that I am so hesitant to give them any of my money for anything because I just, Nintendo, I want them to be good, but they're just so not good lately. And well, so for me to say, like, even $8.50 of my hard-earned dollars, giving them to Nintendo just...
I'm asking the wrong person, it sounds like.
You are.
Okay. Well, just I'm speaking
ask
hypothetically.
Ask me after the Wii U. Maybe that will change my mind. Maybe.
I doubt it.
Through you.
I think you're too far gone. You know what? I was thinking about it, and I mean, when you compare it to the Mass Effect Leviathan being maybe 3 hours, 2 hours of gameplay, and it really is worth it in the sense that the first pack is just straight up, like, get as many coins as possible, which kind of sucks because it totally ruined. You know how they say DLC, you shouldn't be able to buy DLC to be better at a video game? Well, the way Coin Rush Mode works is you post your high score to your street pass. So whenever you pass somebody on the street, your record is sent to that person and they can see that, oh, Ryan got 2,000 coins and that's his highest record.
Well, then everyone laughs at you because 2,000 coins is like nothing?
Well, now it isn't, because if you pay $2.50 for the gold coin pack, you can basically get, without trying, like over 16,000 coins. So like some poor like 10-year-old is going to get my street pass record, and yeah, that sounds really creepy when you think about it. he's going to be like, how'd this guy get 16,000? And he's going to go cry to his mom, and then she's going to buy him the DLC. I mean, I see what you did there, Nintendo. It makes perfect sense.
Yep.
The second pack's actually, the last two packs is where it gets actually pretty interesting and totally not Nintendo. The second pack is tied to a leaderboard on the Nintendo website, and you can basically see like what everybody's high score on these three packs are. So, and again, Nintendo's all about private and having fun without people being able to find you and kill you, because that's how online gaming works. so in this sense, that's really cool, and And they rank up in difficulty. So the first one's like a 1-star difficulty, which is like easy. Anybody can get through it. It's sort of similar to the rest of the game in the sense that it wasn't hard at all. So it wasn't, it was like Super Nintendo. Like we want people to be able to beat the game so we don't make it hard. So that's where the next two packs come in, where the second pack is 3 stars, easy to get through, a little difficult, but you know, and mind you, it's one hit kill. Like when you die, you have to, that's your record and you start over. But the third pack is called Nerve Rack Pack. And it really is nerve wracking. Like, it took me an hour to get through the first level because you have to, like, be perfect at the. It's like Super Meat Boy, is the best way to describe it.
It's, well, I did love me some Super Meat Boy. So I'm assuming that maybe I might. Maybe a little bit like this. I don't know.
I think this isn't going to make you go out and buy a 3DS. And
God, no. Exactly. There's very few things that actually could.
But if I were to give you a 3DS, like, here, play this level, and you'd play it, it's like, I wish I could play Mario like this all the time. And it really is hard, and the first level consists of you running along these bricks by hitting, like, a power button or something that turns coins into bricks, and it's a time limit. So not only are you racing against the clock, but as soon as that clock ends, your path disappears and you fall to your death.
Nice.
So it's really hard. And it took an hour to get through that. And then the second level is all about, it's a lava level, and it's all about jumping on flying Koopas to get to the next platform. So it's like the, you have to super jump off them, and then one wrong move and you hit the guy and you fall to your death. It's really hard. And I can't get past it. I'm stuck. Like, it's almost like it's not worth my money because I can't beat it. I don't even know how to get to the third level. So,
aw, poor Ryan.
And that's the cool thing about it is that Nintendo is never going to make a Mario game as hard as Super Meat Boy. But I feel like these three levels are totally Super Meat Boy.
So these three levels that you've purchased with the DLC, even though the DLC is 9 levels, you feel that the DLC is worth it for those 3 levels?
I think I think it's worth it. I think all three are worth it because I had beaten the game. I beat the whole, all the levels, everything I could do. I didn't get all the star coins, but who has time for that?
Whoever does. I mean,
no, I got as many as I needed to unlock all the worlds. And then with this DLC, and mind you, Coin Rush mode, the only levels you get without the DLC are just rehashes of the levels you already beat. So I really wasn't enjoying Coin Rush mode. So with this DLC, it's totally renewed my interest in the game. So I would say it's worth it in the sense that it's definitely going to extend the game longer than just comparing it to Leviathan for $10. I'm still trying to get through those levels, and I'm having fun. It's similar to Super Meat Boy in the sense that you keep dying, keep doing the same level over and over again, but you're having so much fun doing
it. So much dead meat.
Well, I mean, Mario doesn't explode when he hits a Koopa. But
it would be so fantastic if he did. Oh my god. It was just like, psh, Mario everywhere. I would play that game. I would buy a 3DS to play that game.
Let's let Nintendo, you know, work their way up and start with the super hard Mario levels and then work their way up to Mario being decapitated. But I'm having a lot of fun with it.
I need more hardcore in my Mario.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to get
that. Oh, not that kind of hardcore. No, no, no.
I didn't say that. You did. And I'm sure there's fanfic out there you could read that would help. But yeah, there's two more sets coming out, at the one at the end of October and one in November. And I'm actually looking forward to it. So, I mean, it could turn this $40 portable game into a $70 game. But it extends the life of it.
Which would be so typical of you.
Of what? Me spending more money on a game?
Yes.
You know what, Jocelyn? Like, if I'm actually playing the DLC, then this is the... Aside from Mass Effect, like, in terms of buying DLC and not playing it, that seems to be a passion of mine. I mean, I have Dawnguard installed, but I have not played it yet. So, I don't know. I'm happy that I'm enjoying this game, and it makes me even look forward to the Wii U and the new Super Mario Bros. Game coming up for that. So, yeah.
Super Mario Bros.
Sorry, I did it again. You know what? I'm just going to have to... I will not say bros. It's brothers on a chalkboard over and over again.
Excellent. So what I've been doing is I've been playing Castle Crushers. I actually played when my best friend was here visiting a couple weeks ago. whole lot of fun. We had a great time. We didn't kind of realize that the different colors were different classes, so we were just kind of running around hacking stuff, which it's one of those little kind of indie arcade type games that you can do that, and you don't have to know a lot, and we died a little bit, but not much. She's obviously a gamer just like me. And we played a lot of Nintendo back in the day sort of thing when growing up, like the Mario Kart and Mario Brothers and all that kind of stuff. Mario Brothers, not Bros. Brothers.
You did it. Did you just do it?
No, I didn't do it. I'm just pointing out the fact that I didn't do it.
Right. Right.
So Castle Crashers was... Well, no. I'm losing my microphone. Was great. A lot of fun. But one thing that we did find is there's a lot of poop jokes.
Really?
A lot. Yeah. And we were playing through, and it was fine. It was a lot of fun, and it's one of those, like, side-scroller type things, and you can have up to four players, so it's multiplayer, which is good, too, because, as I mentioned on a past show, Joel and I have been looking for multiplayer games to play together. But, yeah, we got to this one part where there's this big, huge monster. I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like a bear, but takes up, like, the whole left side of the screen, and then it comes across the screen like this, and so you have to run away. And so as you're running away, there's all these, like, forest creatures around you, and there's, like, a cutscene as you run away, and, like, the big bear thing stops, and you stop, and then there's, like, this deer in the middle of the screen, and all of a sudden it just goes, like, poop shooting out the back. And it's just, like, this big, huge spray of, like, poo everywhere. And we were kind of like, okay, that's all right, we get it, haha, funny, scared the shit out of him, yay. But then you get further along in the forest, and it's 30 seconds of gameplay, and then it pauses you again, and there's some other animal that poops everywhere. And it's just, like, pooping animal after pooping animal, like, four in a row. And then we got to another part just after that and died. And then you have to go all the way back, and then it's, like, pooping animals all over the place again. And you can't skip the cutscenes. So after, like, the third time we died, I was just like, oh my god, no more pooping animals, please. I am done with the pooping animals. I am done with this game.
Joel's probably wondering why you're talking about pooping animals so much.
He's playing Batman. He can't hear me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, pooping animals reminds me of back home, actually. So I probably shouldn't play that game. But why? What's the motivation behind the pooping, you know? Is it just they're scared?
They're scared. They're scared, so they're like, oh my god, we're so scared. We're pooping everywhere, and then they run away.
It's because you, like, kill things in that game, right? Like, you're knights, right? Am I thinking of the right game?
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're knights. Yeah. And okay. I think the bad guys, like, steal your princesses, and so you have to catch up with the bad guys and get your princesses back. And one of the levels it's all side-scrolling stuff, but one of the levels has this, like, oh my god, you have to escape, and you, like, ride the deer, and you have to jump over logs, and it's fun, except for the not being able to skip cutscenes, and the cutscenes being poop everywhere.
Nobody's a fan of poop everywhere.
No. So I'll probably get back into it, probably play it, because like I said, it's pretty fun now that I figured out that the different color knights are different actual classes. So you have, like, one's a wizard, one's, like, a hack-em-slash-em regular knight. I don't know what the other ones are, because I didn't play them, but it's fun, it's different, and it's multiplayer, so bonus. But there were a lot of people a little while ago that were very obsessed with it, and I can see that. Except for the sense of humor is not really my sense of humor. Like, I like a good poop joke like everybody else, but not all the time over and over in these repetitive animations.
That's yeah, all. Poop jokes. That's an early title that came out on XBLA, like, pretty early in the Xbox 360 lifetime. And that title was very popular. Took years to come out on PlayStation 3, actually. I point it that way. It's over there. I don't know why I pointed. It's all over there. But yeah, I haven't actually played this title. I think maybe I played the demo or my friend had it, like, a long time ago. And it's up to four players, right?
Yes, four players, yeah.
Is there drop-in, like, Xbox Live co-op?
I think you can either play local or Xbox Live. You can't have, like, two local people and then two Xbox Live people. But I could be wrong because we didn't try that. We just wanted to play the two of us, so.
I see. Well, you don't want people jumping in. Nothing worse than...
Jumping in with poop everywhere? I know. It would be terrible. How would I explain that, really?
I don't know. I just wouldn't try. Once poop's involved, it's almost like, you know, calling in sick to work. You just say stomach issues, and then no one asks. So those deer had stomach issues.
Nice. So what else?
Not
have
that
you
I've ever
play?
Done that. I mean,
yeah, right, right. Okay, yeah. Stop now. Stop. Just.
I just
stop.
Really wanted to play WoW.
So what else have you been playing?
Not WoW, unfortunately. This is kind of a game, more a, I don't know, like a bundle coming out called, it's called Mac Heist, and you're going to love this, Jocelyn, right up your alley. It's all about purchasing a bundle of software at a discounted price for Macs, and it's all based off of this mystery. Now, in the past, you would do like little web problems and go around the internet and like solving these sophisticated like Da Vinci Code things, and that movie sucked. Anyways,
that movie was so terrible.
I'm done with that movie. So in this version, it's all based off of your iOS device, this thing here, and now I can
do
that
with
video.
Oh my God, you son of a bitch!
I can do this too. This one's my old one. So Mac Heist is an interesting little project, and the reason I mention it is, Jocelyn, this would be perfect for you. It would give Joel a discount on the bundles and a bunch of free Mac apps by you playing games, and it's all intertwined by this single app called Mac Heist Agent, and every couple weeks they'll release a new app that is basically more little puzzle games. So, and it's about been a month so far that it's been going on. So there are, I think, 6 apps. I played through them all in like a couple of days. They're very small, very manageable. But the whole bundle, the whole like promotion thing, there's this lead up to the bundle. We don't even know what apps you're going to be able to buy. But it's all wrapped in this like mystery story. And when you download the apps, it introduces you to these characters. Like, there's live action video of people being like, I must find the thingy to solve the problem of many things. It's really cheesy and
really?
Overdone.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but there's a lot of different mini games and stuff, and you start off with what's called nano missions, which introduces you to the gameplay that's going to be in the missions. So some games you'll play are, sorry, I took a lot of notes here. What do we got? There's like these bouncing light off of mirror puzzles. You remember in Ocarina of Time where you had to like position statues
and bounce
the light? So that's sort of like
everything from Ocarina of Time. Everything.
Of course. I'm going to try to reference Ocarina of Time as much as possible then. So it's like a grid-based thing, and you have to like move pieces around to get the light to go, and really basic. Other ones are like this weird like Sudoku painting thing where you're given a set amount of colors, and you have to like fill the grid with colors to make, it's like pixel drawing, and it's weird, but it's a lot of fun. And you'll quickly get, and then those are the nano missions, and the main missions are wrapped in story, and you're actually traversing through a manor. And it's more than just the mini games. It's also like a mystery game where you have to do like riddles and puzzles. Like they'll give you a bunch of clues, and you kind of have to figure out, okay, how am I going to unlock this? How am I going to get to the next door and figure out the combination? It's, I don't know why I pick stuff that's so hard to explain, but it is a lot of fun. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but it is just this really cool project. And if you are interested in really great Mac software at a discounted price, like they had hundreds of dollars worth of software, and you can get it for, I think it was like $40. And then also by completing these missions and stuff, you get discount even further on the bundle, and plus a bunch of free stuff. But the free software isn't that great. You'll get, there are a couple games in there though, and those are probably the best pieces of software you can get. You can get, I think, the first episode of Back to the Future and a Hector game, which are all Telltale titles.
Cool.
But unfortunately, it's all Mac only, so I'll apologize to you Windows and one Linux person out there. But it is fun. You should check it out.
The last thing that you played is actually a demo of something that we are going to talk about later in the show. So I think that right now we should just go on to our quickfire news.
Sounds good. Right, I switched these around. Episode 1 of Forward Onto Dawn now available. Head on over to youtube.com/machinimaprime to catch the first 20 minutes of the web series leading up to Halo 4. In this installment, we're introduced to the cadets of the Corbulo Academy of Military Science and a live-action warthog. Not the animal, the car. All sounds very exciting. November 6th is literally just around the corner, like a month.
The federal investigation into 38 Studios has finished. No charges have been laid against Kurt Schilling or 38 Studios this week as the feds concluded their investigation into the collapse of the studio earlier in the year. The investigation centered around the possibility of bank fraud. The studio is not clear yet, though, as there is still a state-level investigation being conducted to make sure that no state laws are broken. It seems kind of fishy to me because investigating without even stating what laws might have been broken, but I'm not a lawyer, so...
President Washington is dead. Long live King Washington! Here's an example of interesting DLC. For Assassin's Creed 3, Ubisoft is going to show us what may have happened in the olden times if George Washington caved to temptation of ultimate power and became King of the United States of America. This is such a cool premise. A press release stated, "The new king is born and his reign leaves no one untouched. To return freedom to the land, our new hero must dethrone a tyrant he once called friend." The DLC will be split into 3 episodes and available as a season pass for 30 bones. The pass saves players 25%, and you get the content a week ahead of non-season pass purchasers. If you're a fan of alternate history stories, this sounds like it's right up your alley.
Mass Effect 3 DLC Retaliation is set to be released next week. We have another Mass Effect 3 DLC announcement for you. Retaliation, the newest in the line of multiplayer DLCs from the popular franchise, will be available for download. Next week, sorry. This DLC features a new enemy faction, as well as new enemies in the existing factions. There's also new playable character classes, new weapons and upgrades, 6 new maps, and rotating traps / hazard system to make existing maps more challenging. This is the biggest multiplayer DLC to date in the Mass Effect series. In related news, Skyrim's latest DLC, Hearthfire, is now available on Steam. PS3 users, see, I can't even say it because I'm totally not one, are losing hope of ever seeing Skyrim DLC on their consoles.
Cliff Bleszinski has left Epic Games. Cliffy B, the designer behind the Gears of War series, is moving on to new projects. "I've been doing this since I was a teenager, and outside of my sabbatical last year, I have been going nonstop," Bleszinski wrote in a statement posted by Epic Games. I literally grew up in this business, as Epic Games president Mike Capps likes to say. And now that I'm grown up, it's time for a much-needed break. It's crazy to think of all the departures we've seen lately, but to do something for 20 years, let alone work on the same series for 5-plus years, the dude deserves a much-needed break. So we look forward to his future projects.
WoW subscriptions go back above 10 million with the release of Mists of Pandaria. Mists sold 2.7 million copies in the first week, causing subscriber numbers to climb back above the 10 million mark. The expansion did not release in China at the same time as the rest of the world, so sales in that country are not included in Blizzard's totals. All I'm going to say about Mists is, oh my god, pet battles tame all the things!
Wow. Video scary. Resident Evil 6 executive producer responds to fan frustration. Okay, here we go. Japanese name. Hiroyuki Kobayashi had this to say. "The way I always think of it is that if Resident Evil represents a child, then the fans and us are, as creators, are the two parents. The resulting games are like the children that are born between both of us, and just like real parents, you're not always going to agree on what is best for raising that child." So you hear that?
Just got a little weird.
Yeah. Oh, it's always been weird. But so Resident Evil fans, you are... You're just an ignored parent. It's just, it's all about these developers, and your voice doesn't count. But whatever.
Xbox Music launches October 26th. The launch is planned to coincide with the launch of Microsoft Windows 8, with new registrations being available right away, and all Zune Music customers will be automatically rolled over. A new feature of the service is an ad-supported free music stream similar to Spotify. Monthly subscriptions will cost you $10, or a year is $100 up front. There are plans for the service to go cross-platform, in that it will be available on iOS devices as well as Android devices, but as of right now, it will only be available on the Xbox 360, Windows 8, and Windows Phone. And I had a really sweet transition to go into our fall releases talk, but I totally forgot what it was. So, Ryan, why don't you just tell us about Resident Evil 6?
Okay, I will. Resident Evil 6 is a game, 6 in the series, and I played the demo. And, I mean, it just came out literally this Tuesday, I believe, and it's been getting a lot of heat. People are not liking it, critics and fans. And I played 2 of the 3 campaigns available in the demo, and it actually, rather than playing, I'll save you a gig download. You can go to twitch.tv/thegamersin and actually watch me play it with commentary. So there's
that.
So
nobody go to Twitch TV. Nobody wants your commentary.
My commentary, it's actually very sparse, don't worry. I'm not talking constantly. Not that you'd want to listen to the wonderful Batman voice coming out of Leon. But anyways, I didn't hate it. But then again, it was only an hour, like 20-minute chunks of the game. And I have to apologize, Jocelyn, because there are zombies in the game.
There's always zombies. Like, what Val said on Twitter a little while ago is, what did game companies do before zombies? Because it seems like there's just zombies in everything.
It's Resident Evil.
I know it's Resident Evil, and that's what I said. I'm not going to get this game because it's zombies. And then you were like, no, they're not zombies. They're mutated humans, and then they whatever with the stuff. It's not the same.
It really isn't. Have you played Resident Evil 4?
No.
Okay, that's a game you should play. Ignore Resident Evil 6, it's funny because Resident Evil 5 was mutated humans. They didn't act like zombies. They were very aware of their surroundings, smart, they planned, and there was just upgraded versions from then on. There was never any zombies in 5. They were always just infected people. And occasionally if you shot them in the face, they would go
don't ever do that again.
That's what happened. That actually happened in Resident Evil 5.
You know what that reminds me of? Those little dog things in Borderlands that have like the crazy mouths everywhere.
Thank God for video. Now we can actually do that. Oh my God. See? We're already getting a reaction. But anyways, in 6, the zombies are back, but there's also the smart zombies as well. So I kind of lied in the sense that the problem with the game is that from what I've seen from critics is they're just trying to do too much. And that is illustrating the fact that there are 4 separate campaigns in which all of them could literally be their own game. And
how long are the campaigns that there's 4 separate ones?
They said I think they range from 4 to 6 hours each.
Oh, that's broken.
Well, that's long, you know, and
well, no, it's not long because I mean, like, Skyrim had what, 150 hours, and Mass Effect took 30 to 50, depending on how you played and how thorough you were. And so, I mean, if you have 4 campaigns at 4 to 6 hours each, you're looking at 16 to 24 hours,
right?
Which isn't long for a game, but I don't want to play like a janky 4-piece. No.
The problem is that you're describing it. You're comparing it to 2 games that are meant to be 100 hours long. Resident Evil as a series is fun and entertaining, but if it gets old pretty quick, you know, if you're playing that game for more than 10 hours, it feels like it's dragging on. I obviously didn't get that sense from the demo, but just from what I played, it just feels too action-y to me. Like stuff, it doesn't feel like the classic Resident Evil where you had time and you felt a sense of danger. It's like, no, I don't feel a sense of danger. I just mash the R button and Leon does roundhouse kicks and nothing gets close to you. It's like, how could you be scared if you have like feet of infinite power? I'm looking down at my feet. Like, like literally you just mash the R button.
I wish I had feet of infinite power.
Well,
I would have infinite power.
Leon does.
So actually one quick sidebar.
Sure.
When you play video games then, are you more of a like put yourself in the game or play yourself as the character? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you try to make your Mass Effect people look like you, or do you want to be like default Shepard and you just throw yourself into playing as Shepard and what he would do?
I just Mostly, I just want to. I'll either create a cool character or I'll go with the default because I just want to get in there and play. So with Resident Evil, it's not a player created. You jump into a specific character. That being said, you do get to pick from different characters. Like Leon is a classic, but he's paired with some chick you've never met before. And then Chris with another guy you've never met before. And then there's two random character, or not two random, but this, it's just there's so many characters, and the whole attraction to Resident Evil was playing as like, what? Oh, great, Resident Evil 5's out. I get to finally play as Chris Redfield again. It's not like, but with this one, you get to enjoy them all, which sounds like a good idea, but it's you're right. You described it perfectly. It's disjointed. It feels like four separate games. So I don't know. I have one more campaign to play through, and I'm actually going to stream that one as well. And they're all about 20 minutes long, so you can kind of skip through it. The quality on the first two isn't great, but I think the third one I'm going to try to fix that, hopefully. Extra Life is in 2 weeks.
It is, yeah, so we probably should get this figured out.
Yeah.
So you've played Resident Evil 6. Do you think, get it, don't get it, up, down, thumbs? We have thumbs now, we can show people, so
No, don't get that.
no.
Because it's gonna tank in price, and it's not worth $60. If you're a Resident Evil fan, I think wait for it to go below 40. And I rented 5. I didn't buy it. I was satisfied with renting it, and I would totally be satisfied with renting 6 if you can find it, if there
Yeah.
are any rental places left.
So on October 9th, which is next Tuesday, we have Dishonored, we have XCOM, and we have Fable the Journey. And I'm gonna start this off because Ryan, you talk too much. So I'm gonna say Fable the Journey, I was so stoked because everybody knows how much I love Fable. So I was just, which has a lot of fart jokes, and it turns out that fart jokes and puking drunk people are funny, but poop jokes, pooping deer, not funny.
This is
So
British. Very big difference.
I think that's it. So, Fable the Journey, I was looking forward to, but it's freaking Kinect, so I can't play it.
You can't, but I can.
Oh,
I
so
don't
are
know if
you
that's
looking
a. I'm
forward to
not.
it? Have you played a demo? Because I know the demo's out.
I played a bit of the demo, and I was actually going to test. I talked about this last week. I was going to test streaming that with the webcam and the microphone and whatnot. So I might do that, and you can actually see what it's like. I probably won't pick it up though. It's a Kinect title. It's pretty janky.
So how much is it actually? Do we have a price on it? Because I haven't been paying attention because I don't have a Kinect, so I'm not going to buy it.
It's either 50 or 60. Probably
Oh
60.
my God, really?
Well, it's a first party title. I mean, yeah.
No, but just wah-ha!
It's Kinect. God, it's there should be a stupid discount. Right? That was my impression
Yes,
of
I
you.
did. Oh, hey. I totally couldn't tell that you were doing me.
Did we explain that we were talking about fall releases? XCOM. This actually looks pretty neat, actually. It's a turn-based strategy game, but it's like not. It's totally done in 3D, and it's actually a remake, or not a remake, but a reimagining of like a 20-year-old title or something. Lou said he was looking forward to this in the forums. He said he'll pick this one up, and there's a demo on Steam as well. So if you're curious as to whether it's any good, I have yet to try it yet, but
You have yet to try it yet?
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm
So,
sorry.
what about Dance Central 3? You were talking about the rhythm games. Was it last week or the week before? And you were all about the whole rhythm games, but no plastic instruments and everything else. Does Dance Central fit into that bubble?
Yeah, I own the first two, but I will not. I'm not going to friggin' stream these because
I
the
think you
connect.
should.
No, because
I
I
think that
mean,
the chat room
no,
wants to see
I don't.
you play Dance Central.
Maybe if I, no, I'm not even going to do it because it's not worth it. I do not look good moving around in front of the TV. I'm stationary. But the third one actually, I know I have the first two, but I haven't really like played them. But the third one. It's actually interesting. It has a story mode where you go back in time to save dance moves from being forgotten forever. Yeah.
So, like, disco and like I can't dance, so I'm not actually gonna do dance moves. I almost started disco. But then I stopped myself.
You can't see my arms moving, but that's the disco. Yeah, disco's in there. This is the only way they could figure out how to get all the dance moves from the entire last 50 years in the game without, I don't know, I don't know why they need an excuse, but they used it.
Do Dance Central, because I think I've only ever played it once, and there might have been alcohol involved. It's all very fuzzy.
Probably.
So, Dance Central, do they have an actual, like, game storyline? Because I remember when I played, everything was already unlocked. Like, you didn't have to do anything. It was just like, here's a bunch of songs. If you want to dance, go and do some dancing.
Not really. Like, the first two, you had all the songs unlocked. You were really just playing what... There was a story mode, but it was like, you just challenge a bunch of people to dance-offs. And, and yeah, so not really in the sense that they had an actual storyline. Like, this has cutscenes and, like, objectives and actual story, whereas the other one's just like, yo, dog, I'm going to challenge you to this stupid dance move, yo.
Don't. Just, Ryan.
No.
Don't.
Sorry. To all the gangsters out there, I apologize for imitating your culture. Yeah, so this one, I don't know if they'll limit, like, you get upgrades and stuff for playing all the songs or the story mode, but I don't know. Yeah.
So what about Medal of Honor, Warfighter, which is not two different games, or Forza Horizon? Are you excited about either one of those? I gotta say, compared to last year, the kind of fall-winter release schedule, there's nothing I'm really that excited about. I'm kind of disappointed.
I'm not disappointed because I'm glad there's not a lot of titles here, because the whole reason we brought this up as a topic is, not only is fall here and these games are coming out very soon, but we're very busy with not only life, but like with WoW and titles. We have a backlog from the summer. Like, we talked about Darksiders for 2 weeks and then never touched it again.
I know. I literally haven't touched it since the last time we talked on the show. Like, it's crazy. WoW took over all my gaming time. I went so full on into WoW because I was trying to get myself all caught up in time for Myst, and everybody knows that didn't happen. I'm only like halfway there, my level 43 hunter. Woohoo! But yeah, nowhere near 80 or 85 or 90, whatever we're up to now. 90, I know. I know. Don't write me emails. I know. So,
although if you do, you could win a free copy of WoW.
You could win a free copy of WoW, because we have two to give away next week. So all you have to do is send in some kind of feedback. You can even comment on the YouTube video, which I assume is right below, but I don't really know.
We can do that now. We can totally point down and say YouTube. That's just
I'm not big. I don't. Anyone who has listened to the show and who knows me at all knows that I am not big into the YouTubes. I use it for game trailers, and that's about it. So this is a whole new foray of my life. So I don't really know how YouTube works or comments work or whatever, but I assume you can comment down here. So you should probably do it. Oh, there's my hand. Ha.
Her finger is accurate. But no, these two titles, I included Forza. I'm not big into racing games. I included that because Greg, I Am French Boy, said he's looking forward to it. So maybe it's a French thing. I don't know.
Well, the French do like fast cars, right? Fast cars, loose women, that's kind of a thing.
Whoa.
And cheese.
Okay. We'll stop at cheese. Medal of Honor Warfighter is a new first-person... What are you doing? First-person shooter. And I'm actually not looking forward to playing this, because it's just coming out and it's this new shooter. And I just realized we forgot Call of Duty on this list. Can you believe that?
No, Call of Duty's in November. It's coming up.
Oh, I should have looked down.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2 comes out November 13th.
It's weird that I wrote these notes and I thought I forgot.
It has zombies, because everything has zombies.
You don't have to play the zombie mode, Jocelyn.
Didn't look like zombie mode. It looked like full-on zombies are in the story. Mm. It's like this crazy futuristic apocalyptic, like, part of the storyline. There's some big virus that's released and now all of a sudden there are zombies.
I can confirm. There are no zombies in the storyline.
There had better not be. Just like there better not be Flood in my Halo 4 campaign.
I'm
looking at you, Microsoft.
If they're watching. In which they are, I apologize. But yeah, Medal of Honor is a shooting game based on... Have you ever played any Medal of Honor games?
Yes, I have. I've played kind of like a little bit of each of the series, like the Battlefield, the Call of Duty, the Medal of Honor, like all those first-person shoot, like war game things I've played, but I don't enjoy them really. I like first-person shooters like Mass Effect. I can get into just going through a level and shooting a bunch of dudes. And I liked original Call of Duty. That was like World War II. There was like you had time to reload, or you had to take time to reload, and you know it felt like your gun was actually doing something instead of just like spraying bullets everywhere. So like original Call of Duty and Call of Duty 2 maybe a little bit, but after that they totally lost me.
Yeah. So, I mean, the reason that EA is releasing this, they actually rebooted the franchise with the first Medal of Honor 2 years ago, but they're competing with Call of Duty, like, head to head with the Medal of Honor and Battlefield franchise. So, this is their outing. And next year, we'll get Battlefield 4. And the year after that, we'll probably get another Medal of Honor. So, EA and Activision, head to head. I could actually. So, anyways, the 30th of October, actually getting some titles that some of us might be interested in. I'll start with Jocelyn's because she's jumping for joy over here. Lego Lord of the Rings. You're
Yay!
excited? You're gonna buy
So
that?
much. Oh, I am, as long as we can put a roof over our heads and still have some money left, yes, I will be buying that.
There you
First
go.
day, I'm super psyched for it. I do enjoy Lego games, so I think having Lego and Lord of the Rings all smooshed together into this just game of awesome is, I'm gonna love it. And I know we played Lego Harry Potter 5 to 7 on the Xbox, and I've got to say, Lego Harry Potter is the only thing I think that Nintendo did better than anything else, is playing it on the Wii with the actual motion controller as a wand. That's better than trying to use the sticks. But
Interesting.
Lego Lord of the Rings doesn't have this.
Because you're getting it on the Xbox.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I like the. I've never actually played a Lego game. I've never been able to get into them. Although I haven't really given them a fair shake. And I think this might be the first one I try. I might pick it up on PC if it goes on sale on Greenman Gaming. We'll have to see. But this is the
Yeah,
first title you've mentioned that you're actually thinking of buying, and that gives you about a month of WoW play. That's pretty good.
I know, I'm excited. So, yeah, I'm excited about Lego Lord of the Rings. I want to play Assassin's Creed very, very much, which is also on November 30th. So, I was looking forward to Assassin's Creed, but I haven't had a chance to play. I played the first game all the way through, but I haven't had a chance to play the others. So, I feel like I can't pick this up right away. I feel like I have to wait until after Halo and kind of after Christmas and then maybe look and see what I can do about the Assassin's Creed situation. But as for right now, I won't be picking it up. And I'm really sad about that because it looks really interesting. It could be good. Or I don't,
I
actually, I don't think it just could be good. I think it really will be good.
no, it's probably going to be one of the Game of the Year's contenders. But I think with Assassin's Creed 3 is 80% of the game, you could jump in and be totally good to go because they reset the main story every game, or well, every numbered sequel. But there are bits in there where you jump back out to be the Desmond character. So
See
you'll.
now, so he's new, right?
No. Desmond is the guy in the
Who's
future.
the original guy? Oh, yeah. Okay, so in now the future guy is Desmond, and the guy you
Right.
go back to is Ezio?
Ezio in the second one. In the third one, it's a new dude. I don't know his name, but he is a Native American, a new
Right.
character. Never seen him before. So I mean, you can enjoy 80% of the game, but the story is so convoluted. I don't think anybody knows what's going on. And from what I hear, playing 2 and Brotherhood is recommended, but Revelations, I think, is sort of
Yep.
just a throwout title that you don't need to play through. So I played through 2, and I actually enjoyed it. The mechanic it is if you played 1 and got through it. Then you owe yourself the favor to play 2 because that's the game that 1 should have been. That makes any
Oh,
sense.
I see.
Because 1
Yeah,
was
no, that makes
janky.
sense. Yep.
I'm using janky a lot.
So that brings us into November with something that's been highly anticipated now by both of us since I played Halo 3 and actually really liked it. So Halo 4 is coming out November 6th. We've been doing Road to Halo 4 here on the show for the past, oh God, what's it been? 2 months?
It's been a long time.
I think so, yeah. So we've been playing all the old versions of Halo and all the way back to 1 and then all the way up through. So next week we will be recording on Saturday and we will be reviewing ODST. And then we have Reach and then Halo 4 comes out. And I cannot believe that. That's insane. Like, we're almost in November.
Yeah, it feels like last week we were talking on the Gamers Inn about Mass Effect 3 and enjoying it, and like, it's just crazy. Time's flown by so quickly, and November 6th is going to be here. It's already October 5th. Can you believe that? I can't. Oh, I can. I'm looking at it right now. But yeah, you're right. We're both looking forward to this title, and really, like, is there much else to say?
No, I don't think so. I think everything that we're going to say in the next few weeks. So that brings us, we've already talked about Call of Duty, so I'm kind of on that.
Are you going to get it?
No.
Probably not, sounds like. I made a point of playing, at least, I like the single player. I just enjoy the high-octane Michael Bay-ness of it. And I never played through Modern Warfare 3, which is odd because it's like the end of a trilogy, which you'd think you'd want to play, but I just never got through it. So I don't even know if I'm going to pick up COD Blops 2. Probably not.
I am definitely not.
But then, we all know, the 18th will quickly... The Wii U... I actually pre-ordered my copy of New Super Mario Brothers. I said brothers that time. Aren't you proud of me?
I am very proud of you.
I always do better when I'm made fun of. But anyways, yeah, Wii U, we've talked about it before. That's coming out on the 18th. Ryan's pre-ordered it, so look forward to the episode after the 18th when Ryan hopefully says money well worth spent. That's not right, but you know what I mean.
So that brings us up to November 20th, which there's a title that I wish I had a PlayStation just to play this because I think it could be a lot of fun, and that's PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. So I need to get a PlayStation.
Yeah, I put this in here because it's really just... It's a unique title that I love the Smash Brothers series. It's like my favorite Nintendo franchise, and I haven't been able to play it in HD or online at all. Like, Nintendo, like, obviously hasn't done HD yet, and their the online battles for Brawl didn't work. It was broken. You'd get in a game and it just lag out. It was all about timing, right? And when there's lag, it doesn't really work. So I'm really looking forward to this. I don't think I'm going to pick it up. I think a lot of these titles are, you know, like Resident Evil 6 and Fable the Journey and just, you know, key titles. Boxing Day, they're going to be $30 off. Well, do they have Boxing Day in the States?
No, they don't. They have Boxing Day over in Europe, but not in the States.
Oh, weird. Well, that sucks. Then you guys can pay full price and us Canadians.
I think they call it something else.
Maybe? I don't know. They have Black Friday, but it's end of November.
Yeah, their big shopping day is in November around Thanksgiving because they do all the deals in time for Christmas. We do it backwards. Actually, we do it the right way because we have Boxing Day to get rid of all the old stock that didn't sell before Christmas. They have Black Friday for some weird, crazy, I don't even know, doesn't make sense. On fake Thanksgiving, too, which, happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, and to you American listeners, happy Columbus Day weekend.
Is that what it is, or are you just making that up?
No, I'm not making it up. And I even said, when I was leaving work, I was saying, I was actually going to make this joke on the show, but you already kind of went through it. But I was going to wish all our American listeners that a happy long weekend for Columbus Day. And it's really funny that Canadians get it off, but Americans don't.
That is actually hilarious. So I think that pretty much wraps up, unless there's something else from this fall lineup that you're looking forward to. I think that pretty much wraps up our topic of the week for the week.
Well, it is funny. I actually did already buy these two last titles. I pre-purchased them.
Oh, really? Maybe we should talk about them then.
So I guess by default, I'm looking forward to them. And I don't know, not much to say. I mean, Hitman Absolution's return to the series that I never really played, but the trailer made it look so cool, and it was on sale, so I picked it up. It was back in my weaker days, you know, last week. And then Far Cry 3, again, it just looks like so much fun. An open-world shooter, I pre-purchased it, and we'll see how it works. It was actually supposed to be out by now. It was supposed to be out in September, but it got delayed. So, yes, that was my... Yeah, quick rundown of those two.
Which brings us to the listener feedback portion of our show. So if you want to be a part of the listener feedback part, if you want to be a part of the part, come be a part of the part.
We're all words tonight. You know that?
I know. We're stumbling over everything. Anyways, for listener feedback, you can send us an email, just like Val did, at info@gamersandpodcast.com. I totally forgot our email even. Jesus, it's just... We're doing well, I think. We're doing well. All these new things right in our face. Yeah, I think we're doing well. So, Val's email this week, which enters her into a draw for a copy of World of Warcraft, which includes Burning Crusade, Wrath of the Lich King, and Cataclysm. So if you'd like to be a part, again, send us an email. Val's email says, "Hey guys, I don't know if this has been addressed in the podcast before, but I would like to know, how did you guys first meet? I mean, you've never met in real life, so it must have been an internet meeting. Ooh. But under what circumstances did it happen? Thanks and keep up the great work." So Val, we met on Twitter, actually. Both Ryan and I are very active in the Frog Pants community. And so I guess like we'd kind of seen each other in the Final Score chat room. And so we'd been kind of talking back and forth there and then started following each other on Twitter and started talking on Twitter about Skyrim and how much we were enjoying the game and what was going on. And then we just kind of... It grew from there, and then I guested on Ladies of Leet, and then Ryan said, "Why don't we do a podcast?" And I said, "Sure."
Yeah. I mean, I've always been interested in podcasting, and I did a small podcast in college, you know, and I always wanted to do...
You should totally, you guys, everyone, listeners, you should check YouTube for videos of Ryan in college, because I swear to God, some of it is the funniest thing I have ever seen.
Well, that's nice. You're very kind. Yeah, so I always wanted to do it again. I never really had the opportunity, you know, what with working and just having friends not really interested in doing a podcast. It was more just this one-off thing I did. What is that? It's a fluffy. I just said, yeah, why don't we do a podcast both into games? And I think like about a month of planning, we finally launched the Gamers In, and it was like in the January, right?
It was actually just before Christmas, because we recorded one that we released, I believe, on the 23rd of December, right? Because we're coming up to our one-year anniversary. We're doing episode 42 right now, and so we have 10 more episodes, and we will have done a year.
And we haven't missed a single episode.
I know, which I am so impressed with us, because seriously, I mean, I moved across the country where I'm doing 12-hour shifts now, and Ryan, you've been crazy busy. We've both gone on vacations, and I went to Nerdtacular, and we haven't missed a show.
There's been a Gamers In come out every week. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think you missed a few episodes, but we went on strong. I think we pulled in a couple people, but that's getting away from the question, and I apologize. But yeah, that's how we first met on Twitter. I think we were also talking about Zelda. You mentioned...
That's true, because that was back when I was excited.
The tattoo. Yeah. it was interesting, and...
We'll have to save the tattoo showing for another night.
Yeah, I was fishing there. I was going to say, like, this is a bit, tease for whenever you want to do that. Like, tune in next whenever. I'm not going to commit. It's not my I don't have a tattoo that I can show on screen. I mean...
Oh, dude. Oh, no.
I don't have any tattoos.
Oh, yeah, that's what you say now.
I'm a wimp. And I mean, think about it. If I'm that wimpy, do you think I could get a tattoo somewhere where I wouldn't be able to show it in public? Probably not.
Probably not.
Hopefully that answers your question.
I think we just gave Val way more information than she was anticipating. Sorry.
That's my fault. It always is.
So that brings us to the end of the show. So we're just going to do a quick plug for next week's episode, because I am so excited about this. We've been plugging it for a while now. But if you send us an email before our next Road to Halo 4 episode, which will be with Mark the Terpster Turpin on October 13th, we will enter you to win a copy of WoW. I've already told you what that includes, and so I'm going to tell you now that they are in code form, so it doesn't have to be for you. You can give it to anyone that you want. It can be a family member, a friend, or a total stranger, if that's what gets you off. We're no judgments. So send us an email by October 13th with your questions and comments to win. You can also, if you feel like donating to our Extra Life campaign that we mentioned at the top of the show, you can go to bit.ly/TGIExtraLife, and you will find all of us, but, you know, totally donate to me, because I'm me, and so you have to. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you will find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer, which is right there now. See, wait, there's the camera. There we go. Ha! Yes, GISGamer. You can find Ryan at RMurphy. Say something, Ryan, so that your video
it's
pops up
right
on the screen.
Here. Look, I'm doing the thing with my hands. Do with my hands.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with my hands. Where do I normally
what
put
is
my
it?
Hands?
It's just, I don't know what I should be doing with my hands. Okay.
And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersIn, and we're also on Google+. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and stay tuned for our show next week, which will, again, be on the fabulous Google Hangouts on Air. Huzzah!